Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jeff Phelps, Tom Withers, in for Andy Baskin today. Cavaliers losing to the Indiana Pacers in Game 1, and then last night had Game 2. Despite all the injuries, they had it and let it get away in the final 47 seconds. Man covering it for the Chronicle-Telegram joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's our buddy Bob Finan. Bob, good afternoon to you, sir.
How you doing?
Hey, Bob. We're having fun today, but we're having a lot of different opinions on this. I thought, Bob, and I don't know why I felt this way. Going into the game, I thought the Cavs would win last night no matter who was out. And then after they went up by a bunch after the first quarter, I thought, I don't think they're going to lose this game. And then when they went up by 20 in the third, coming out after halftime, I thought, there's just no way they're losing. And I didn't think they were losing the game until Halliburton's three-pointer went through with 1.1 seconds left. I really didn't. It was a great effort that they just let get away. What do you take away from it? Great effort? Or, boy, did you mess it up down the stretch?
Yeah, it was a great effort. I mean, they really played hard, the guys that played, but you just can't lose that game. I mean, I think they're going to go down now in the series, and it's hard to believe I'm even saying that, but Indiana has really taken it to them here in this series, and you know, Cleveland would have to go to Indiana really and almost win both games there. And that's going to be really hard to do.
Yeah, they're going to have to take four out of five, Bob. And you and I have watched enough Cavs basketball over the year. I hate to rank losses, but this one was really a gut punch in the pantheon of tough Cleveland Cavaliers losses. Where does this one rank?
Well, it has to be one of the worst. I mean, you got to rank it right up there with the shot and some of these other bad losses. And this was just... they just totally fell apart down the stretch, and they were getting tired. You could tell
right.
Donovan just didn't have anything left. He really played well, but you know, just a couple plays down the stretch would have won the game. Maybe even a rebound would have done it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
one of anything would have done it.
I was just going to say that.
One of anything.
Yeah, an inbounds pass, a rebound, a box out, and you probably get away with it. Bob, what was the most trouble? I mean, there was a lot to digest and dissect in that last 47 seconds. What to you? What was the biggest sin, if you will?
Well, I mean, allowing Halliburton to get the offensive rebound on the missed free throw. That was inexcusable. I mean, there's a guy standing there, Donovan, to ensure that he doesn't do that. I mean, that's his job on that play, just to get in front of Halliburton and not allow that to happen. And he didn't. And Halliburton was great down the stretch. He had to be fired up after the crowd was chanting overrated earlier in the game, which is absurd. The guy is just an outstanding player.
I thought it was interesting, too, Bob, that Donovan was trying to discourage the crowd from doing that, knowing that, okay, you don't want to fuel this guy up anymore. He's got enough of a chip on his shoulder, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. And I just love the guy. I've always thought he was a great player. I mean, Indiana gave up Sabonis to get him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, he's a quality player. And you don't want to fire those guys up any more than, you know, they already are.
Bob Fanan joining us. You can read his coverage of the Cavaliers in the Chronicle-Telegram. Bob, I thought Kenny Atkinson after the game was gracious and honest. He said, my only regret, maybe I should have played more guys. You're looking for things if you're, you know, wondering what went wrong last night. You're down three key guys, and you had them. You know, and other than the final 47 seconds, I thought they played a near-perfect basketball game under the situation. Now, that said, how do they take what happened last night, erase it, and try and win four of the next five games against the team that obviously is not intimidated by the Cavaliers?
Well, like I said, I don't think that's going to happen now. And I picked the Cavs to win this series in six games, and I don't think that's going to be right, of course. you've got to get these injured guys back in the lineup for one thing. I mean, how long is Darius Garland going to be out with a sprained toe? And to watch these guys sitting there during the game, goofing around and laughing, and it just wasn't a good look at all. And, you know, the national guys really picked up on that. But I don't know. It seems like DeAndre Hunter might be closest one to be back. And, but, you know, they needed a couple of those guys last night. And they did play Craig Porter a little bit last night, Javonte Green a little bit. But you really couldn't go much deeper unless you played Tristan. And I was all for playing Tristan a few minutes and let him banging guys around a little bit. if you want more aggression out there, put him in for a few minutes and let him knock some guys down.
Yeah, we've discussed the same thing, Bob. A little hockey shift, get him out there and bang somebody around. What do you make of Ty Jerome's struggles? I mean, you know, obviously, Bob, he's been as good a sixth man as there has been in the league this year, and obviously he's in a different role last night as a starter because of the circumstances. And he goes 1-for-14 and really didn't do much on the defensive end as well. What do you make of his struggles through these first two games?
I don't understand it. I mean, 1-for-14, that's hard to do for one thing. And he's been so good all year. It's hard to figure out what's going on here. But, you know, his shot was off right from the start. He was making turnovers that he usually doesn't make. Maybe he's not suited to be a starter. I don't know. But they sure missed him coming off the bench in his normal capacity, but he was pretty bad. He was as bad as you could get, and you know, it was hard. Really, they needed him so much. They needed his ball handling. What they needed was Darius Garland in there handling the ball toward the end, his playmaking, not even so much his shooting, but he's really needed. And It'd be a real shame if he doesn't play again this year.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bob. I think, you know, the lack of that second playmaker, well, actually, you could argue your first playmaker in Garland is just detrimental. I mean, if you look at the way the Pacers have been able to kind of have Halliburton and Nembhard share that playmaking role, if you will, not having that point guard out there is just, it changes the offense dramatically. So, do you think Kenny makes it now a lineup change going into Game 3? Again, not knowing exactly who is going to be available?
I don't know. I don't know who it would be.
Yeah.
I don't know who.
Maybe Merrill for Jerome.
Unless you put Sam back in there. And Sam played pretty well last night. He is finally making shots. He's another guy I scratching my head. He just hadn't been making shots with any regularity. And luckily, they started going down for him last night. Maybe that'll be a sign of some good things to come.
Bob Finance joining us. He covers the Cavaliers for the Chronicle-Telegram. Bob has covered the Cavs for decades. One thing I want to go back on with Ty Jerome, and I don't want to look past this, and I don't want to think about the end of the season. I wonder if the fact that he has had the best year of his career, and he had it for Kenny Atkinson, who he had some familiarity with from their Golden State days, and he's a free agent at the end of the year, has come into this at all. I would think not.
You would hope not, but human nature would tell you that it could. Yeah.
I mean, this is your opportunity right here, and man, I don't know that he cost himself any money with anybody, but it hasn't gone well so far. As he's what, guys? 9 of 34 shooting the basketball so far, Bob.
And he just looks lost, doesn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't look in the regular season.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he moves in slow motion anyhow, but he's been so effective all year. He just
been great.
He's been fantastic. It's going to be hard to sign him because he's going to demand some pretty good money. But I think they want to, and I think that will happen. I think there's a couple other guys. I think Sam Merrill could be a free agent, and Dean Wade, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, there's both guys you might want to bring back, but. You know, we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Exactly. I was just wondering about Ty.
No, but it's a fair point, though. And especially if this team now in its third year, you know, can't get beyond the second round and get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
We know what that screams, Tom.
Yeah. It screams overhaul. It means, you know, you're going to hear people screaming for a certain number 23 that plays on the West Coast right now. You're going to be hearing screams for Giannis. Again, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. The Cavs could still
surprise,
potentially tighten this thing up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know about any of that. all their concentration has to be on the next game on Friday.
No doubt.
And, you know, they're very capable of going into Indiana and winning, but it would be nice to get one or two of these guys back. And, we'll see how that goes. I mean, Mobley was pretty limping around.
He was really struggling, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't look good. And, you know, he finished that game the other night in game one, but, you know, that could be on adrenaline. Too.
Yeah, ankles typically aren't day-to-day. That's usually a week-to-week thing.
Yeah. And but why Garland isn't out there, I can't answer that. You know, we might not find out for another couple months like the Jared Allen thing last year. Oh, yeah, he had a broken rib.
You're so right, Bob. I was just going to say that. They're not doing him any favors by not being as transparent as possible about this injury, don't you think?
Oh, right. He's getting a lot of heat from you know, the fans and everywhere. It could be worse. It could be broken for all we know. We're not going to find that out. They're not going to tell you that. So it's unfortunate.
Bob Finance joining us. He covers the Cavs for the Chronicle-Telegram. And here we go to Indiana, where the Pacers, you know, play very well at home. Cavs have been a good road team. Bob, does your gut tell you that they get this thing back to Cleveland for Game 5? Or is that completely up in the air based on who could play and who couldn't?
I think they get it back for Game 5. I think they can maybe split there. But I just don't have a great feeling about them winning this series now. I just don't.
Understandable after the first two
games. Hopefully I'm wrong.
Bob, great to have you with us. Thank you very much, buddy. We appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Robert.
Bob Finan, follow his coverage in the Chronicle-Telegram as he's been all over the Cavs. As they keep things hopefully rolling toward Game 3 coming up on Friday. And again, They did not practice today.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Tom, of course, recently retired, even though you're working more than you ever seemed to work before. Tom wrote for the Associated Press for decades and is one of the phenomenal reporters our city has had. And it's good to have you working with us.
Way too nice of you. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you working with us here from time to time at The Fan.
Great to be here.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
How's this radio thing doing for you? You enjoy it? It's a little different.
I do. It is different. Fortunately, I'm surrounded by professionals who are guiding me through my...
Those guys are in the morning and afternoon shows. I don't know what you're talking about.
You guys are both good at what you do.
Menigan's shaking his head.
And those in Meredith and those in the back are also great at what they do. It's been interesting. I think I mentioned to you before, my mom was in radio for years.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes as well. You know, she was a musical producer and librarian. So I think I got a little bit of it in my genes. I hope I'm doing okay. I think I'm doing all right. Yeah, I like the interaction with fans because I found through my years in covering the Browns, the Guards, and the Cavs that, you know, I would always, you know, be approached by neighbors or people at the Westlake Rec or whatever, yeah, like that want to know the insight and what's going on with the teams. And so it's always been fun. So this is a lot of fun. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm sure you get this. The one thing that I think, okay, I appreciate that you enjoy what I do for a living,
yeah,
and you know, I can't tell you the number of people, and you know, I've worked like you in this thing for decades, right? Maybe we have a little insight into some things. Let's just, maybe we do.
We have access.
Maybe
to,
yeah, maybe we know kind of what's going on.
Yeah.
I love it when people come up and say, Jeff, here's what's going on with the Guardians. This is the thing.
Yeah.
And I always just say, hey, thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I heard some Donovan. In fact, I heard some Donovan Mitchell rumors yesterday that I was like, wait a minute.
I think
I know a little bit. So, this has been a blast. The other thing I get a kick out of is when people come up and say, hey, Tom, you know, bring us a winner tonight. Like, the only thing I would root for on game night was my lead. That's literally all I cared about. I just wanted to be able to write something concise and that would make my editor, Terry Taylor, God rest her soul, that would make her happy. That's all I cared about. Won or lost.
And that the initial piece is the piece that you post. So, that would be the other one, Ed. We're not going,
You don't have to change it drastically after having it basically written with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
Give us rewrite.
Yeah. How can the Cavaliers come back in this series? We're going to dig into that as soon as we hear from Tom in Cleveland. Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys. Wow,
hi, Tom.
That loss hurts so bad. It reminds me just what just happened to me. My lady just ghosted me all because I mentioned an old crush. It hurts that bad.
Oh.
But like the Cavs, they'll recover. I hope to recover too.
All right, Tom.
Hang
in there.
Okay, thank you.
All right. There you go.
It was, you know what, I'm sure everybody had kind of the same reaction last night.
Cavassier, anyone, while we go through that whole thing? Do the ladies man on this?
Tom, I feel for you there. There are more fish in the sea, Tom.
I thought you said it perfectly earlier, Jeff, when you said you didn't think the Cavs were going to lose until they lost.
I didn't.
Right? Yeah.
All game long, I thought, all right, well, Indiana cut it to four. Well, that's all right. Cavs got the ball. Give it to Donovan. He's going to go score.
The one thing I
didn't think they were going to lose.
I feel you. I was talking to Dan during one of the breaks about it, though. There was that juncture in the third quarter when it went from like 9 to 13 and back and forth, and I kept saying to my wife, you know what? The Cavs need to get this back to 20 again.
Yeah.
Because if this team is within shouting distance in the fourth quarter, this is going to be a fistfight.
They have a history of it.
And I tell you what, two plays that have stood out to me in the first two games were the final play of the third quarter in both games. And in both instances, the Pacers dropped a three essentially at the buzzer, right?
Yeah.
Those are those momentum type plays. And coaches talk about that all the time. It's that final minute, final 2 minutes of periods and quarters where you've got to be on your game. And if you're not, the other team can get the momentum and carry it forward. That's what's happened.
I think it's interesting that, you know, one good play by one really good player just has everybody sitting here. If that shot clanks off the back of the rim, you know, if it rattles and doesn't go, but we have the Cavaliers were down three starters. Look what they did. They dominated the game and then hung on at the end. It's 1-1. We're going to Indiana, blah, 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 blah. It's one shot. I mean, there were a lot of things that went into it.
One rebound.
But it came down to one shot.
It did, one shot.
One tip, whatever.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I said, how do the Cavs win game two? And I threw out three main thoughts. Number one was you couldn't have the guards dominate the shots. And I was assuming, and we did this with... Okay,
Mitchell and Jerome, you're saying, yeah.
Let's assume somebody's going to play.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, so you're going to, let's say Evan can go or whatever, whoever it was, don't have the guards dominate the shots. Well, you kind of had the guards dominate the shots because you ended up needing it with Donovan Mitchell, 30 shots for the second straight game. So, okay, I understood that one. I said, you've got to close out on the Indiana shooters and can't give them the open looks they had in game one. I thought the Cavs did that
much better.
For a good portion of the game.
Yeah.
Although, and you got to take a good look at this one to get this one. Cavs had a 17-point lead after the first quarter. Pacers had only 15 points in that first quarter. And then in the next three quarters scored 35, 34, and 36 points. They averaged 35 points a quarter over the final three. That was not the defensive effort you needed for the entire game, but you sure had a great win in the first quarter, Tom, and that did set the tone for the entire game, and it's why I thought they were going to win the game.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jeff. I was on Indianapolis radio yesterday afternoon, and they said the same thing to me. Like, what do you see as the key... The key for
I haven't congratulations.
Gotten, do you know that joke? Do we have to explain that joke?
You got your own ding.
Yeah. Ding bat. What was I saying?
Sorry,
you're on Indianapolis radio.
Give it to me again. And said, you know what, the Cavs need to be more assertive, more aggressive defensively, and I thought they were. I mean, obviously they needed.
I thought so too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, by necessity they had to be, and they were, and I just felt like. I don't know. There were a couple moments that felt like the Cavs either rushed shots or they could have built on that lead. I tell you what, though, and we've talked about it earlier, the Pacers have an uncanny ability of putting together a couple of good possessions in a row and turning a 14-point deficit to 8 real quick, don't they? They hit threes. They know what they're doing. They've got a game plan.
And Tom, how many times did that happen last night? About 10 times? It seemed Cavs are up by 14, they're up by 15, and then boom, boom. It's a seven-point game.
Yeah,
and that just showed Indiana's ability to take more than a hit.
Yeah.
And just keep coming back.
And Spiro said it best earlier, I think. Team is really well balanced. They can all shoot, they can all pass. The other thing too, Jeff, you know, when you talk about defense, and I know this is part of the Pacers' MO. You know, they got behind the Cavs defense for a couple of very easy layups on just leak outs.
They get down the
floor. They do. I mean, they turn if they give up a basket, boy, that ball is inbounded quickly and it is up the court and they're getting up a quick shot early in a possession.
I've always been impressed by the Pacers. I think they do a really nice job and we've seen it so far. The other thing I said for a key for game two was Evan and Jarrett. Now, Evan didn't play. But I said they've got to be a tough matchup for Indiana. And I didn't think they were in game one.
Yeah.
Because even though Evan had a double-double and had over 20 points, took only 13 shots.
Right.
And Jarrett took only 7 shots in game one. And last night, Jarrett had it going, and he took only 9 shots.
Yeah.
And I good for Donovan. They had to have a huge effort out of him last night. But man, find more than 9 shots for Jarrett. Find if Evan is able to play, get him 15 shots. I mean, take some of the heat off of Donovan.
Yeah. So we touched on that earlier. If you guys remember last year when Garland and Mobley went out for that long stretch, like late December, January, right?
And what they went like they won 12 games in a row or something.
Yeah, they went like 16-2
or
whatever without both of them. Yeah, and it was because Bickerstaff used Allen as kind of a, you know, he would bring him up on high ball screens, right? And they would run the offense through him. They would give him the ball at the top of the key.
And let him
decide, right? I mean,
he's
kind of
a smart basketball player.
He is, and it's kind of like...
And he's skilled.
and skilled. And you, it's what you, and I, listen, he's not going to necessarily, you know, beat you off the dribble and go in, you know,
or shoot threes.
Right. But he's going to make the right play.
Correct.
And I tell you what, I love Jared Allen. I think everybody does. If you heard the way he talked,
one of my favorite guys.
My God. If you heard him talk post game last night, all he talked about was he wants to do what's best for the team and do whatever he can to help his teammates out. And I mean, you can't hear of a better role model or example for young kids to follow than somebody with that kind of mentality, right? But in terms of what Kenny can do with him, I think it's got to be an option, depending on, again, health going into Friday.
Well, does Kenny have on Friday?
Exactly.
You know, roster-wise.
And if he doesn't have those three guys again, then I think you got to be a little bit more creative, because we can't expect Donovan Mitchell to come up with another one of these kinds of games.
You know, Jared Allen, and let me go off the beaten path for a second. You remember when he signed his contract here and he signed a 5-year extension for $100 million and it was 20 a year. And when he did that, and now, you know, let's take us out of the real world where $20 million a year, are you kidding? For any of us, we're all giddy.
But he was a bargain.
He was a bargain.
Yeah.
And I remember when he signed it and I thought, you could have got a lot more money. And it was the same way I felt when Travis Hafner signed his extension with the Indians back in the day, because Travis got something just under, was in the upper 50s.
That's a good comp right
there.
Yeah,
it was in the upper 50s. And, you know, Travis is a buddy for all of us. Travis is a real regular guy. And Jared Allen is the same kind of guy.
I agree with
you. And I thought when Travis signed it, I thought, you could have got more, but I understand. And then Travis had the shoulder injury, and if he had not signed that contract, he never would have got that kind of a contract. After the shoulder injury, because he couldn't hit like he used to. And when Jarrett signed, I just thought, you're one of the sharpest guys in the NBA. You know, you just know he's a really smart guy.
Yeah.
And he thought, I'm sorry, $100 million right now without, I'll be good for life. Thank you. And I admire and appreciate guys who think that way, Tom.
And I think he's grown on us as a player as well, right? I think we see to your point, Jeff, I think we see that there's a little bit more even there in the bag, right?
Oh, yeah. He can do a lot of things.
And I think now, you know, by necessity, because I'll be honest, I don't think we're going to see Evan Mobley and Gabe III. I'd be shocked. He was having trouble walking yesterday, putting any kind of weight on that ankle at all. So,
and you said something to me earlier in the show, actually, I think it was in a commercial break, and you said ankle injuries like that aren't day to day. They're week to week usually.
I'm afraid so. So listen, again, I think it's good that the Cavs took today off, recharge, rest, get some ice, try to figure things out. I'm not gonna put it past them to steal game three. I'm not either. Think they can do it.
And you've got a guy who can carry a team,
right? And we're gonna really see the character of this team, aren't we? Now, I mean, this is where you're really tested. Yep. You're down in a hole. Find a way.
How can they win it, folks? Not just game three. How can they win this series? And we just started to touch on it. I want to touch on it a little bit more. And would love to hear your thoughts. 216-474-0092. Tom Withers is in for Andy today. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dan Meredith helping us out. We're right here on The Fan.
All right, a little bit of news, gentlemen. Sham Sharani at ESPN Golden State. Stephen Curry has sustained a grade 1 left hamstring strain and will be ruled out for game 2 against Minnesota on Thursday. Sources tell ESPN.
Is that a so-called injury or a real injury?
I think it's legit.
He was grabbing that thing yesterday.
I'm just kidding. I mean, it just feels like it's all we're talking about right now, right? Our injuries, and that's the variable that, you know, you can never account for, especially when you get to the NBA playoffs. Unfortunately, we've felt that in Cleveland over the years, right? I mean, you can go back as far as Jim Jones, right? And a Cavaliers team that was, by all regards, the best team in the league. And it happens.
I'll forever think they would have beat Boston and gone on and beat the Phoenix Suns, but they didn't. And Jones was out, and Jim was terrific.
I tell you, the Western side, we haven't really touched much on the Western side of the bracket, but there's a lot of good stuff going on over there as well.
Kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
The 2 and 3 seeds, nowhere to be found.
No.
And you've got, what are they, 6 and 7, I think?
Yeah.
Minnesota and Golden State, and then you've got the 1 and the 4. If you're the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're the number one seed, and you have a great young team, and Sam Presti did a great job of adding some, like he went out and brought in Alex Caruso.
Yeah.
Traded Josh Giddey and brings in Alex Caruso.
Which I didn't like, but now I understand.
Right. Well, who makes that trade?
Yeah.
Nobody, unless you're thinking about your entire team and how pieces fit together. Caruso's been great for them. But you're the number one seed. Oh, hi. Here, take on the team that recently won a championship with the best player in the game.
Take on the guy that gets 42, 22, and 6. I know.
I mean, that, Tom, to me, just shows the NBA is just so good.
It really is. I tell you, the thing about the Thunder, and I've watched them all year, and I really,
they're fun, aren't
really
they?
Like them. The only thing I wonder about them, like if there was one flaw, the Achilles to me of the Thunder is that they don't have that legitimate number two scorer.
Yeah.
If it's not Shea, if he's not doing his thing,
it's probably not Jalen Williams.
No, it's kind of a committee thing. Like it depends on who's hot on a given night. Yeah. And that's a dangerous way to play where, you know, Denver it's pretty obvious it's the Joker, but then you got Jamal Murray playing like he did a couple of years ago, and that is a super dangerous team right now.
Sam Presti, I think, is one of the great GMs in sports, not just in the NBA. And think about what they did with that team, because you got Shea in a trade.
Yeah.
You know,
how's that for a move?
At one point, they had Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook. And, you know, moved them all.
Yeah.
Busted that up.
Right.
Traded pieces, traded parts. You brought in Paul George.
Yeah.
Then you move him. And I think you got Shea in that deal along with first-round picks. I don't even know how many it is, but they still have,
a bundle
a treasure
of
trove of picks that they can use. And their team is still so young. That's a situation where if you're Oklahoma City, you know what? We need fill in the blank. Here, will you take two number ones for them? Because we have 14 of them moving forward or whatever it is. And they have put themselves in a sustainable situation.
Play for the moment and for the next year and the year after that, right? I know. Yeah, you're right. That's
and like for instance, I wonder about the Cavs, because though they're loaded right now, they're in the next 5 years, you're losing three number one picks, and the team should be good enough that they're probably in the 20s, right? Most every year.
And then
pick swaps. But still, look at guys who get drafted in the 20s who come in and play key roles on team. You're not going to get the superstar very often, but you're going to get key guys to build your team. Look at...
got to find the right ones.
Right.
Yeah.
Look at Indiana.
Yeah.
They gave up a boatload to get Pascal Siakam. And I hate the trade, Tom, where you get a guy and you give up a piece or two or three and three number ones. Though Donovan is incredible, I'll forever think
one
they
NFL
gave up too much.
One NFL trade comes to mind, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, one NFL trade comes to mind. Rudy Gobert, great player.
Right.
If I'm Minnesota, I'm not giving up three number ones for him. I'm not giving up three number ones for Siakam. You know, I'm not giving up three number ones for DeJounte Murray, which, by the way, didn't work for the Atlanta Hawks. So it may or may not work. No arguing the fact now that the Cavs are really good because Donovan's here. And that Pascal Siakam has made, it kind of pushed...
Yeah,
Indiana
he's taking
over the top.
No question.
But the NBA is such a weird league.
It is.
Because you're dealing with, I mean, it's like you're on the stock market and you're dealing, you know, futures.
That's a good way to look at
it. You're trading commodities.
Yeah.
And it's a really weird deal. If I'm looking at that Western Conference right now and I'm in the number one seed in Oklahoma City and I'm playing the number four seed Denver and I'm on the outside looking in, I'm thinking, I think I'd take Denver in that series. And you might have even thought that going into the series.
100%. That's how I felt.
That's tough.
That's how I felt, yeah. And I tell you what, and I'm already looking forward to that Knicks-Celtics game tonight because
is
going to be an absolute war.
And that's the other in our conference right now. I like both of those teams.
I do too.
The way they both play. And the Knicks have made some moves. And Dan cracks me up because he's so right. He's Tom Thibodeau. Is anybody playing under 42 minutes a game?
Nope.
No, probably not. Hey, guess what?
Yeah.
They keep going.
Yeah.
They picked up some guys. Like, they got OG Anunoby. Such an underrated player.
Good player, yeah.
He's really good. They brought in Brunson. And Dallas Dallas didn't see him dominate in the playoffs that one year and they let him walk?
Give me a half dozen Josh Harts.
Oh, my God.
Right? You know, it was funny the other night. So Hart was, you know, it was almost like Donovan Mitchell. Like, he was at going on 40 minutes and was completely gassed. And Tibbs left him out there.
Yep.
Hang in there, kids. I need five more good minutes out of you. And maybe overtime.
And, you know, Carl Anthony Towns has done a real nice job for them.
It took them a minute to figure out how to best use him.
It did. Dan hates him, by the way.
You guys can have all the Towns stock.
Dan,
he's yours.
Dan hates him.
How come?
I am just... The dumb fouls break my brain every time. I'm like, oh, this guy's starting to figure out. He then makes a foul like 80 feet from the basket. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
He's a wonderful human being, though.
He's so a that, wonderful
to me,
person.
That negates some of the nonsense that he does.
What tough stuff he went through with COVID.
He certainly
losing
did.
Losing multiple
He's
family members.
He's a wonderful, wonderful person. I just sit there and watch him, and I'm like, oh, why are you... Why did you foul him 75 feet from the basket?
Dan doesn't think of humanity. Dan is only concerned about
He's
his
all
sports
about the
pleasure.
Analytics and stats.
His sports pleasure is all that really matters.
I get
Dan
it.
Menigan. Now the Cavs have to go to Indiana. And they've got to, obviously, you have to win one of these or you're not playing anymore. Steven is in Cleveland. Steven.
Hi. Yes. You asked how you win this game.
It's how do you do it? End the series, Steven.
I mean, you got Jared Allen. I mean, you work him in the paint. It don't make sense to have a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter. Protect the lead. They got to learn how to protect the lead. You don't need to shoot threes. You shoot threes to climb your way back in the game. Make the other team shoot the threes. You're not making them? Okay, coach, it's not the prettiest thing. Go play old school basketball. Post the big man up, down low. That should have been Jared Allen's whole fourth quarter.
Post. I've read about that in history books, Steven.
I don't disagree with that idea. It's just that you haven't played that way all year, right?
No, so it's Tom, you haven't.
It's foreign to you. So
foreign, but you win the game. I mean, it's not pretty. I mean, but win the game. That's the most important thing.
You know what? You inbound the basketball, you win the game. You box out, you win the game. You make a free throw, you win the game.
That's why Tristan Thompson should have been in the game.
Yeah, we've been batting that around a little bit. I think there might have been a moment or two where you maybe could have used him.
I'm not huge on Tristan being out there for extended periods of time, but Tom, I think you just said it well. A moment or two,
yeah,
you could have spotted him for 5 to 8 minutes, something like that.
I mean, I look at it like this: Jared Allen took 9 shots the second game, 7 shots the first game. Ty Jerome took 20 shots the first game. 15 shots the second game. Okay, Jared Allen makes $30 million a year. Ty Jerome makes $2 million a year.
Yeah.
The math is not math.
Steven, that's pretty funny.
You say the math is not math.
Math is not mathing.
Like it.
13 of 16 for Jared Allen in this series. But in 2 games, he's taken only 16 shots. Again, we know Jared's not, you know, a 25-point-a-game scorer.
But
desperate times call for desperate measures, maybe. Samantha is in Medina, home of the Bees. What's up, Samantha?
I'm good. How are you?
We are well. Thank you.
I really think that we need to use Jared Allen a lot more. I mean, every single time he goes into the paint, he's pretty much making everything. He's going past everybody. I don't understand why we don't use him more. I know that we've previously had 2 bigs with Evan Mobley, but it seems like he's not going to come back, so... We definitely need to rely on the big man a lot more.
Samantha, I like the idea. Tom, let me throw a roster thought at you.
Shoot.
Cavs have kind of been an undersized team that's done really well all year. You've lost one of your bigs. You don't really have another big that you can throw out there.
No, you don't.
And that was an advantage for the Cavs going into this series because the Pacers are an undersized team.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you say that, Jeff. So when we got to the trade deadline, that was kind of what we kicked around was, you know, they really, other than Tristan, right, you need that dependable
big guy
you can plug in there, right?
Yeah.
And it felt like that what the Cavs argued, or what their feeling was that Dean Wade could be that guy, that while he may be undersized as a big, he's a 6'9", we can still use him on the wing, and he's also capable of guarding guys, you know, in the paint when we need him to.
Yeah.
That hasn't necessarily happened. Listen, I
think Dean's better defending out on the wing.
Yeah,
don't you?
I totally do. You know, I thought he would step up last night, and he did to a degree.
Defensively,
9 rebounds,
yeah.
Right? Played okay defensively. Only took 4 shots, like you said. You know, he's had a chance to knock down some big threes in the first 2 games and missed them, right? Same with Okoro, who has given you nothing. And I like Isaac, and I think, again,
nice kid.
Good defender. And, you know, he spent a good chunk of last night giving Tyrese a hard time and following Halliburton all around the court. And you do need that from him, but you got to get something offensively out of him.
Especially the position that he plays.
Yeah, otherwise you're playing 4-on-5, which we saw in that Knicks series 2 years ago.
In 30 minutes, you had a small forward / shooting guard take 2 shots. You can't.
That's
have
not
that.
Conducive. No.
How do they win game 3, folks? Tom and I will tell you how. Coming up next, how do they win the series? I don't know if Tom and I will tell you how. We're digging
into our best shot.
Digging into it next here on Baskin and Phelps.